finding joy in unexpected places. We looked at Mary's situation in her life. We looked at the life of Joseph on last week, and today we're going to look at the shepherds. We're going to look at the shepherds. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. That night in the fields near Bethlehem, shepherds were guarding their sheep. You know, I'm going to read it from the screen because I don't want to throw it off from what I have here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger." I'm going to add a couple more verses. Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for this example, the example of the shepherds, the example of Mary, the example of Joseph. To see not only them in the story, but ourselves in the story, and of course you. God, take watch over and keep us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy in unexpected places. I want you to put yourself into the life of a shepherd of that time. Night outside of Bethlehem. The shepherds would be outside of the city, tending to their sheep. They would take their sheep from place to place in order to be able to get pasture and to be able to eat and drink and get rest. They're out, what I call country, in country dark. If y'all understand country dark, no lamps, no lights. You know, I mean, when it got dark, it was dark. They're working and they're hard. This is a hard-working people. You're operating with sheep, leading sheep, but guess what? You smell like sheep. You ever work in a fast food restaurant and you get home and they're like, "Ooh, yeah, you smell like fries all day, every day," right? Well, that's they were around. They were around sheep. They were leading sheep, and they were dirty like the sheep. They were stinky. Oftentimes like the sheep, and sometimes they couldn't even smell it and know it themselves. And each day they would get up to care for sheep, to be able to give, some of the sheep were sacrificed, and some of them were for food, some of them were for wool. So, I mean, but they had all these different purposes, but they knew, this is my bread and butter. This is my life. And they're just getting up on a regular, ordinary day. They hear the crying of the sheep and waking up, and they know their sheep by name and certain ones. And that's crazy old Sam over there, and he's acting up this morning, and I'm just trying to sleep a little bit more and all that. And finally, it's time to get up, get to work, deal with these sheep. But in one moment, it's ordinary, their ordinary life, transformed. And we previewed this a little bit in the Bible class and all that we're just, you know, oftentimes, as we've already looked at Mary's situation, we looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, and they weren't anyone so special in and of themselves. What God did to them made them special. What God, his purpose that he had for them was a special purpose in and of itself. And so that alone makes them special. But if we look at the story, we see that these are just ordinary people. And I didn't deal much on this, but brother, one of the brothers shared, Brother Mike shared a question about the genealogies and all of that. And when we look at Luke and Matthew, we see that their genealogies take on a completely different purpose, and they're listed in completely different ways. Luke and both and Matthew both tell the same story, but from different angles, different genealogies. Matthew writes to a primarily a Jewish audience, letting them know that and moving from Abraham to Jesus and making all of those connections in between. It is structured as intentional and Jesus as the royal king, the promised Messiah, the son of David, the rightful king. And so it's emphasized his kingship in prophecy. And so, in other words, you're asking the question, does Jesus have the right credentials? Does he fit what was talked about, this Messiah, this coming king? And that's Matthew's point. That's what Matthew is trying to allow us to see. But Luke, on the other hand, he's speaking to primarily a Gentile audience. And he's connecting the same dots, just in completely a different way. He's pointing not only to Jesus as he weaves in through Jewish history, but he's taking them back to humanity. He's going beyond Jewish history. He's taking them all the way back to Adam to see how Jesus isn't just a savior for Jews. He is a savior for Jews. But Jesus is a savior for the world. And that was always the intent. And so Luke is writing this to show us the connection between Jesus and Adam and that whole lineage as well. He's saying, here's a savior for everyone. This is important because as we look at Luke, you're going to see that Luke describes things in different ways because he's trying to do this. He's showing Jesus is the God for regular people like us. You don't have to be a king and be powerful. You know, we looked at this young virgin girl, and we stepped into her world a little bit. And there was nothing so special about her, except once again, the special thing that happened to her that then made her really special. But what I'm saying is, look at how God is looking and talking to ordinary people and dealing with ordinary lives. And what that does, that brings us into the story. That we have a hope that God is not lost in looking over all. He's not only looking for the influential. He's not only looking for the righteous. He's looking for all people, all classes, all statuses, wherever you fit. And he's often looking at those who are overlooked as well. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit on today. Look at verse number 8. God shows up in ordinary lives. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. They weren't in the great palace when the Lord came to show them this story. They weren't doing something so grand, the holy building and all that. They were once again just living their ordinary lives as shepherds. And God meets them where they are in their lives. Ordinary places. You know, I think often about my own conversion story and how God came and he met me and how he showed me. You know, he had to. This anybody else's story? He had to. Hello, a little bit. He had to get my attention. And he got my attention in ordinary living. He disrupted my ordinary life, my plans, my career, my desires. He came in and he disrupted what I thought I wanted to be, where I wanted to be. And he did that in so many different ways. You know, I thought when I graduated high school, I was going to be this top chef somewhere and I would have my own restaurant. And you'd see me in lights and all this kind of stuff and all that. And with the chef coat on and just, you know, and all that. Fortune 500 Domingo Reyes. Chef extraordinaire. God whoa, what? Where am I? Exactly right. Exactly where God wanted me to be. God comes into our ordinary lives and disrupts things in our life. And he shows us that he's there for us and for regular people. That there's a phrase, and I can't remember where it was in Revelation, one of the churches that he speaks to, but he says, I know where you dwell. You dwell where Satan is. You know, in other words, God knows the challenges that we're living in. God knows the environments where we are. God knows that we're dwelling in a lost and broken world, but yet God still sees you and me. Mm. And he entered our timeline, but he is the timeline. So he didn't enter it. We entered in his. You know, but he steps into our world. He steps into our lives in order to disrupt things. These ordinary men were out here doing their ordinary things when God showed up, when God spoke to them. God speaks to ordinary people. I think it's really important that we recognize this word isn't a word for the elite. It's a word for all mankind. I don't know if you know about this, but there was a struggle in history for us to be able to have the Bible that we now have in our hands. That there were men and there were classes of people that believed ordinary man shouldn't have this document in their own hands. And so they kept it from the ordinary people. This word is only for the elite. This is only for the studied. This is only for the... No, the word came for all mankind. And it shouldn't be held and protected like this. Like this is only ours. No, this isn't, you know, Lord of the Rings, a precious is only mine. No, this is to be given to the world, to be shared, for us to be recipients of this grace, and then for us to recognize how much we've received, and as we recognize how much we received, to recognize how much we then have to give back to others. Jesus comes and speaks to ordinary people to give us hope, instruction. They were there doing what they always do and taking care of their sheep and preparing for the next day and preparing for whatever was to come next. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes and disrupts their life. And I want, let's look at it one more time. The angel Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I don't know if you've been seeing this connection, but each time that the message was given to Mary and to Joseph, there was fear present. First of all, the God of the universe is talking to you through his angel, but he's talking to you. I don't know about you. That's fearful enough for me right there. And then the message. They're in a pivotal moment. They're in a moment of change. And everything, the systems that all that they knew was changing right in front of their faces. The temple and the Old Testament and the old ways of doing things and all that was coming to an end. And Jesus was coming to usher something new on. And they're right there stuck in the middle of all this change. I don't know about you guys how you deal with change, but most people don't deal with change very well. And they're right there in the middle of all of this. And it says that they were terrified. The angel came and he said, Do not be afraid. He comes to give them consolation. I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. A Savior today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I just want you to think about that for a moment. All your life, you've been thinking about Jesus, or they didn't know the name, but I mean, they didn't know the person Jesus exactly, but they knew there was a Messiah that's coming. He's been prophesied of old. They probably told stories about it and all that. And now you're telling me he's here. He's here. Man, the joy that they must have felt recognizing that they're a part of history right now. This is the most important, one of the most important moments of history. Next week, we're going to look at the death of Christ in a Bible class. I'm might as well put a plug in for that right now, since we're flying over that right now. We're going to look at the death of Christ in the adult Bible class, because when as we were sharing about that this morning, Jesus' purpose in coming into this miraculous birth wasn't just so he could have a miraculous birth. It was because he had a purpose in that birth that was going to lead him to the cross. But we'll talk about that a little bit more on next week. But now here they're told a Savior's born tonight nearby, and the shepherds are still there in the area. They can come and look at what happens to them. Verse 14. You know what? Let me read it. Verse 10. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He's the Christ, the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." And suddenly many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. And they said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." Now, I want you to see that the reaction. Because God can take ordinary lives, ordinary moments, and in that same pot, he can create something extraordinary. He takes these ordinary lives. He takes these broken vessels, vessels of clay, and he gives us something and puts something more precious inside. Right? Our value isn't from who we are and what we're made of and constructed of. Our value is what's put in us. If you have Christ in you, you're valuable. If you have the Spirit working in you, you're valuable. If you're carrying his message and sharing the gospel message, that's a valuable message to be sharing and carrying to the world, to be telling of others. And that's the purpose that he came. He came to be born, to die, to redeem man of his sins, to leave him a story that first of all impacts our life and changes our life, and then a story that we all recite and we share with others that will change others' lives. This is why I'm passionate about when I'm talking about inviting somebody or studying with someone. I know everybody can't study and sit down, but if you understand the joy that comes when you can see someone that didn't know God and all of a sudden they've come to a realization of who God is and now are living for God, I mean, that gives me a little bit more. I want more of that. I want more of those experiences of telling people about the God who changed my life and how he can change theirs. And that's what he wants us to do. Look, I'm gonna get my clothes off, y'all. Get my clothes. But I want you to read in verse. Go back to Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. And after the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." Man, we got to witness this beautiful thing. And they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on the bed of hay. And when the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. And everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking all this and wondering, what does this all mean? And as the shepherds returned to their sheep, listen, y'all. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. They were praying. Listen, y'all. I mean, I want to emphasize this for a reason, because sometimes we've been in Christ so long, we forget the joy of being in Christ. We forget the way it just impacted us. We forget there's people that are lost out there in this world that are still looking for something to make sense. Because religion is confusing. Christianity is, even in, within Christianity, is confusing. But there's a simplicity to the gospel that we need to make and we need to share with others. They heard something and naturally responded to what they heard by sharing it with others. They were joyed, overjoyed by this experience that they just had. The angel came and talked to them and is directing their changing their whole lives right in front of their faces. And they didn't have to wonder and say, hey, let me get a 5-point lesson together in order to validate all these experiences that we had. They went and told the story. Stop complicating it. Stop complicating it. Tell your story. What has God done with you? He ain't done nothing with me. First of all, then let's have a talk. We'll point out some things. And what God is doing. Look, there was a woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. She, this is what God did, and he told me about. But when did she tell me about? Just a little while ago. She hadn't been walking with the Lord for years, and then all of a sudden, now I've learned my lesson in the right format and all that. Open your mouth to say something. And I'm going to just tell you what happens. God fills in the rest. I'm going to tell you this story real quick. The Mount Wall, where are you at? I ain't put my glasses back on. The one that was up here singing, I don't see his body over there. Anyway. We went out and we taught and you know, we were teaching Bible studies and we were at his house and there was a person that was teaching a lesson. Normally I would teach the lesson, but I was being the silent partner at that time and we were teaching Kamau. Excuse me. This brother was teaching Kamau and I was the silent partner, which was hard for me to be silent. Y'all know me already. Okay. All right. So I'm sitting there like, man, this brother ain't getting it. He ain't getting it. He ain't getting it. He ain't getting it. Oh, he didn't touch on the scripture this, and he didn't touch on the scripture that, and he didn't do this, that. And I'm thinking, because I've done this lesson 100 times, I know where to emphasize certain things. I know where to let that go, and we don't really have to deal with that because you already got that. So let's focus over here where you don't. I was skilled. And this brother went through this simple lesson. And at the end, it says, do you want to be baptized? And I was already in my mind thinking, he don't know enough. He don't know enough. He didn't tell him enough. And then, if do you know Kamau? Kamau's sitting there like this. I'm trying to read him. He's got a stoic face. I'm trying to read him. He just got that one face. And I'm like, all right, I ain't getting nothing from this brother. And then, but I do remember this. Is he over there? Okay, all right. I saw everybody look over there, so I said, maybe he's over there. Let me keep my glasses on now. This is crazy. When you start getting older and you got to, anyway. I see him now. Finally, he goes, I'm ready to be baptized. So I go. There's a couple questions. Have you heard the gospel? Yes, I've heard the gospel. You believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Are you ready to be baptized today for the remission of your sins? Yes. I said, today? Today? Yes. I'm like, what is going on here? Yeah, I got to fact check them. And you sure that the gospel, you're obeying the gospel in order to be saved from your sins and you understand? Yep. All right, let's go. It must have stuck because he's still here. Amen. He's a deacon now in our congregation. Hello. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Just open your mouth. You don't have to know it all. Share the joy that you have within and let others know what God is doing in your life. And guess what? Just be a part of God's story. Be a part of the story that God is trying to tell. Interject ourselves. Let's interject ourselves into the story and see how many lives we can touch, how many lives we can change their trajectory from hell to heaven. I'm going to just leave it right there and let that stand right there. Amen. God has been so good to us. And it says that when they returned, verse 20, to their sheep, they were praising God and saying the wonderful things about him. And everything that they had seen and heard was just as the angels had said. Does God know where you live, where you live? Absolutely. And he knows so much that he sent Jesus because he knows the brokenness that's here in this world. He knows the hopelessness that is if this is all that there is. But he comes to give us something greater. A life, first of all, on this side of life. Ephesians tells us that even right now we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't even have to wait for a taste of heaven. You're getting a taste right now in his church, in being a part of his body right now, because we're hopeful of what is to come. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord forevermore. That's coming. We can anticipate that. We can be joyful about what is to come. Why can we be joyful? Because we're in Christ. And no matter what happens around us and all that, I'm in Christ. I'm sheltered from the storm. It's going to beat about my house, but ultimately I will continue to stand. Why? Because we're founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. Where's your foundation? Where's your foundation found this morning? What are you building your life on? Life is going to throw some storms at us either way, but what are you building your life on? And ultimately, at some point, we're going to have to stand before the Master. Where are you today? Maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, you know what, I need that type of joy. I need a joy that comes and changes my life and disrupts what is in order to give me something that's better that is to come. And that's what the Lord wants. The gospel is a challenge. It's good news, but it's only good news to those who receive it. It's only good news to those who have ears to hear and have a heart and the desire to do the very will of God. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Where's your heart? Are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to come and take reign in your life? You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to walk perfect. But he who is perfect will come. And he'll come and he desires to be a part of your life, to be not just a part of your life, the integral. I said this terminology. He wants to be the main character. He wants to be the main character in your life. Are you ready to give him over that kingship in your life? If you're ready to do that this morning, I just want to make it simple, the message simple. I don't want to complicate this. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached a message, and he aligned a prophecy with what they were seeing at that moment. Everything that you're seeing right now is in alignment with prophecy. God spoke about this Jesus that was to come and to die and to redeem all mankind, and you guys have been witnesses of this. Let all the house of Israel know surely that God made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. There's the foundation. There's the foundation. And some of them heard that word, the word, and so they were pricked in their hearts. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, they asked him a simple question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I'm hoping that there's somebody in here asking that same question, and you've gotten to the same place. Maybe you didn't understand Jesus and all of that, but now you understand that you've got to give your life to him. And here's this moment. You recognize that he is both Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah that had been prophesied of old, and now the fulfillment is already here. He is the Christ. And they asked, men and brethren, what now shall we do? Understanding he's the Christ. What do we need to do? And there's always something man needs to do. I know there's some people say, man doesn't need to do anything. Really? But the same people that say, man, he can't do any type of work and all that. Does he have to believe? Yeah, he's got to believe. That's a work. That's a work. That's a work. Works are part of the plan when God said that you got to work the work. Hello. If God said you got to do it, then that's what you got to do. All right? Like baptism. Is it a work? Yeah. It's a work God commanded us to obey. Absolutely. But it itself isn't the saving power. What are we doing it for? What's the purpose? That's the real key. But anyway, I'm going off the theological debates that we ain't even having right now. So for you who are here this morning, do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you believe that simple message, and that message, you're willing to submit to now Jesus being your Lord. Your Lord. Don't mean I fully understand him, but he's my Lord. I didn't fully understand Jesus. Hello. Even when I made the decision. Matter of fact, I'm still learning Jesus every day. Hello. Will you make that decision for him today? He made a decision for you. Will you make that decision for him on today? If you're ready to make that decision for the Lord. Jesus came, he died, was buried on the third day. When Peter and the apostles, when they were asked that question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, meaning turn from your sins, turn to a different way and be baptized. How many of y'all? He's every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you're ready to do just that. You're ready to repent. Turn from your sins. Come to Jesus. Put him on in baptism and allow him to rewrite your story and start walking with him even this morning. If that's your desire, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? All